In just a few hours, he takes the oath of office and joins the freshman class in Congress. And there's little time for celebrating, though, because he'll inherit several budget hurdles left by the last Congress. Joining us live this morning, Virginia's Senator-elect Tim Kaine. And, Senator, this has got to be one of the most exciting days of your life.
Well, Bruce and Mike, it is exciting, but as you point out, the to-do list on the desk when I walk into the office is pretty long. I'm real happy that the Senate and House did the deal at the end of the 112th Congress to avert the fiscal cliff on the tax side, and their resolution of the Bush tax cut question, which was central, was very close to what I had been advocating during the course of the campaign. But they left the spending issues for the 113th Congress to deal with, and we got to deal with them quick. So I'm on the budget committee. I bring some experience as a governor who had to shrink a state budget during a recession and do it without shredding the safety net or hurting the economy, and I'll be offering, you know, my thoughts and rolling up my sleeves right away.
Yeah, that's going to be the key here. I mean, politics aside, how do you shrink government spending at this time of a delicate recovery without sinking that recovery?
It is very, very hard. And I mean, the two challenges you have is you don't want to sink a recovery. We're seeing signs of recovery. The stock market was strong yesterday. Housing is strong. There's great predictions about auto sales in 2013. Consumer confidence is up. So we're seeing some economic recovery. They revised GDP growth figures up the last time they took a look at quarterly figures. So you don't want to jeopardize that. And you also can't shred the safety net at a time where the unemployment rate is still too high. You know, we needed to do a deal that protected people's unemployment benefits for more time as the economy continues to grow. What I learned as governor in shrinking a state budget is the only way to do it is really line item by line item. You have to look at governmental programs, and you have to make priority judgments, and you also have to look at performance data, what programs are producing a result and what programs aren't. You can't cut across the board because everything isn't worth everything else. You kind of have to cut. I used to always tell my cabinet, cut for tomorrow, not for today. Where do we want to be 5 years from now? That is what we ought to think about as we're making decisions about spending. And as the president said, we still have to look not just at cuts, but we have to continue to look at revenue. During the course of my entire campaign, I said you can only fix a balance sheet by fixing both sides of the balance sheet, the revenue and the expense side. So we have to look at things like broader tax reform that by making the tax code simpler and easier, we might actually produce more economic activity and more revenue.
You know, the House just gave us such a vivid example of what so many people think is wrong with Washington by keeping a bill to help the Superstorm Sandy victims from coming to a vote because of a political dispute. Now, that's a different chamber than you're going into, but is there a way to change that culture in Washington?
Well, I hope so. You know, that I think that's the biggest challenge we have. You can't tackle hard issues if there's not kind of a cooperative work together spirit, and I just haven't seen enough of that. But here's my hope. There are 12 new incoming senators, you know, who are coming to the body for the first time as of Election Day. But since Election Day, Senator Inouye has passed. Senator Kerry's been nominated to be Cabinet Secretary of State. Senator DeMint has retired. So there will actually be 15 incoming senators, newcomers to the body. When you bring 15 new people into a body of 100, you really change the dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I've been impressed in talking to the newcomers so far that even though we're of different parties, have different orientations, come from different parts of the country, we all do have a sense that, hey, this is supposed to be a deliberative body about dialogue, listening, finding compromise. So, you know, easier said than done, but I do think the size of the entering class in the Senate will kind of scramble the equation and maybe get, you know, open up some windows, get some fresh air in, and help us look at problems in a new way.
So in the quiet times that you as a family have had prior to today's swearing in, has anyone said to you, for an otherwise sane man, why would you want to go and be a member of Congress?
Well, but the best line with my father-in-law, as you guys know, was the Republican governor of Virginia, Linwood Holton, from 1970 to 74. And he said to me on election night, he said, "Congratulations. I can't think of anybody I would wish this on other than you."
That's a father-in-law comment.
Now, you know, so there is some sense, look, that it's a polarizing time. It is a polarizing time where the nation, not just Congress, but where the nation seems politically divided. I just was reminded the other day of the wonderful line that Lincoln used at the end of his first inaugural. He said, speaking to the South, he goes, look, we're not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. While passions may have strained, they shouldn't break our bonds of affection. And we just need to, look at each other, whether it's fellow citizens or fellow colleagues on the Senate floor, on the House floor. We can have different points of view, but, we're all part of the same country, and we all need to be pulling together.
Well said. Good luck, and congratulations, Senator.
Hey, thanks. I look forward to talking to you guys down the road.
Excellent. Senator-elect Tim Kaine.